Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a text. You can do that at 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. And right here on the program with us today, we have, how's the headsets? Okay.
We can't hear anything.
Let me see. Better?
I'm hearing music.
Now, what happens?
There we go. Yeah.
I don't know who cranks those down.
I don't know.
They're always being messed with. Okay.
Fred.
I should have checked that
Might
before.
Be this new station dog that's running around. <Yeah. laughs>
She did unplug that thing one day, and I thought, what is going on?
She's over there sleeping with her toy we got her.
I know, but so anyway. Good morning, Dr. Edwards. How are
good
you,
morning, Wade and Melody.
Good to see you. So we got a dual phone call today, right?
Yes, we do. Super excited to have two guests today.
Okay.
Which I'll introduce in just one second. I just have to start the show with this. I was listening to some station on the radio on the way over, and they were talking about health insurance skyrocketing and these prescription drug costs skyrocketing, and poor little Miss Smith who couldn't get her statin and couldn't get her rosacea medicine and couldn't get her whatever medicine. It just kind of, well, every time I hear these stories, it drives me nuts. Because the point of the story is, hey, healthcare costs are high and we need to elect some politician to fix the problem. And it's never going to end. I mean, this issue of prescription drug and healthcare costs skyrocketing is not going to be fixed by any politician.
Right.
Because it's management of chronic disease, and you can't manage a sick population. When the number of people with chronic disease starts to outnumber the healthy people, then it's just, that's it. The system doesn't work. The insurance system doesn't work. Medicare and Medicaid won't work. It'll become a bankrupt system, and that's what we're seeing because we've chosen to manage chronic disease. And so the point of this show is to educate people. You're the cure. Don't turn to your doctor to cure you because he can't. He can only manage you. That's what medical school teaches doctors, how to manage diabetes, how to manage reflux, how to manage hypertension, how to manage everything, autoimmune disease, you name it. We're not taught about root causes, and we're not taught about how to reverse disease or prevent disease very well at all. So that's why we get these horrible outcomes, and everyone's having to spend so much money, and now they're cutting services. They're just not covering that EpiPen for your anaphylactic allergies.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I won't go off on that tangent. The point is, you're the cure. We're here to teach you, educate you, convince you that all these diseases, quote-unquote diseases, are consequences. And it's at the root of it is diet and lifestyle, the standard American diet and lifestyle. Is what turns on your bad genes that contribute, but the genes aren't the primary issue. It's your diet and lifestyle. So that brings us right into the four pillars we always talk about: nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. And specifically today, we're going to bring back for the second time Gina Bria. We're going to talk about hydration, but we're going to talk about it in multiple different avenues, and primarily is because Gina is about to launch a hydration summit online. So we're going to talk about that today and just briefly kind of touch on the hydration topic in general. We've talked to Gina before about her book Quench, which I highly recommend. It's available at our clinic, but also just on the internet. But then we're also going to talk about agriculture, hydration in relationship to our soils and really our atmosphere, and how this whole hydration thing, we're so interconnected. With our food, obviously, but with our soil, with our planet. So it all intertwines, and it's beautiful. So we're going to touch on all that today. So Gina Bria, she is an anthropologist and an author. As I mentioned, her book Quench, which I love and recommend to all our patients. But she discovered hydration solutions to modern water challenges while researching desert dwellers. And she talks about that in her book. I think we talked about in our first interview, too. These folks down in South America were running like a 50-mile marathon, and they did it on chia seeds, basically, because those can be very hydrating. They can hold on to your water. So Gina is just a passionate author and researcher when it comes to hydration. That passion has led her to develop the Hydration Summit, 30 of the top leading health care practitioners in natural medicine, and it's going to be launching here in a few weeks. So we've brought Gina in to talk about that. Gina, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, I'm so pleased and excited. I love your work, Dr. Ben, and I'm just so happy to share the message of hydration to your listeners.
Well, thank you for making such a great effort to bring hydration to the forefront and to bring some of the science behind it. And then, of course, all these amazing doctors you've put together for the summit, it's really going to drive home the message that this thing called hydration is pretty darn important. And that's the biggest challenge I have probably with patients is they're diagnosed with these horrible diseases, and then they just think these diseases just kind of come out of nowhere, or it's their genes or something, and they have no control over it, and they're a victim, and all they can do is take a pharmaceutical. And could it really just be that simple to just hydrate or just move a little bit and tweak your diet some and these basic things? And yes, it is that simple. Almost always that's the root cause of these diseases. So thank you for helping me to be able to educate and convince and easy steps that people can go through to hydrate. But why don't you share a little bit for those who didn't hear the first interview of how you got to where you are today, and maybe a little bit on the book Quench, but really I want to focus on the summit too and let you talk about that because we want a lot of people to join that summit and get educated. So start with just bringing us up to speed on kind of how you got to where you are today.
Oh, okay. It's a fun story and a tender story because I was looking at hydration strategies in desert communities around the globe because I had a basic question, which is how come they are flourishing without 8 glasses of water a day? I mean, everybody knows it's got to be 8. It's a biological fact, right? And I was so surprised when I found out they were hydrating using plant material and not liquid, because we associate hydration with that glass of water, and that's the vision and the image we're given all the time. And it has to be high volume to be hydrated. And when I discovered that they were eating water in plants, locked in plants, that's basically a concentrated form of water, and far more hydrating, far more effective at delivering the nutrition right there with the hydration, mm-hmm. and making that whole system run very efficiently, getting the hydration absorbed, which is another huge issue.
Right.
That was the beginning of my story. And at the same time I was researching this and finding this out, I had a mother in a nursing home. My sweet 92-year-old mom at that time was being hospitalized over and over again. So I kept getting these messages, these frantic messages from my family or my sister, right at the exact same time I was looking at this, and I was going, oh, I've got to find a way to bring this into my mom's life. So that was the impetus for determining what plants I could expose my mother to really help her, what desert plants would translate into our modern lifestyle and our modern environments like hospitals and offices and schools and airplanes.
Right. Well, and especially with the elderly, but really for all of us. But I remember working in the nursing home down in Garza County. It seemed like so many issues, and even having to send some of those residents to the hospital, were rooted in dehydration. And especially when an elderly lady gets dehydrated, like your mom, could easily turn into a bladder infection. Those bladder infections, especially in an older person, can start to cause confusion and dizziness and wobbly and fall down and break a hip. And, I mean, it can turn into, it's not just, this simple little bladder infection that maybe you think about when you're younger and it's not as big of a deal. But it can lead to sepsis. It can lead to all kinds of stuff. So just a simple thing like hydration for someone like your mom. So what did you do for your mom?
For my mom, I had already been looking at a group of indigenous people in this Sierra Nevada. They're called the Tarahumara, and they use chia seed, which is a desert sage. And in my further research, I found out that this chia seed is one of the most hydrating plants we have. It releases a very high volume of gel, like a cactus gel or an aloe gel, in the form of a seed, because the seed is protecting itself and setting itself up to flourish in a desert environment. So it surrounds itself with a globe of this gel-like concentrated water. And if you ingest chia seeds with some sort of liquid, or I like to mix it with coconut milk and make a pudding out of it, that's what I sent my mom. I asked her nursing staff to just put a few teaspoons in her morning orange juice, and it made it a little bit more like pulpy orange juice, just thickened it up a little bit, just enough. It was only it only gets 10% more viscous if the power of that gel only needs a 10% difference between liquids. So we're not talking about drinking Jell-O. We're really just talking about understanding what plants have done to water. And what the exciting part is about this story is not only did it help my mom recover, and she didn't have any dehydration incidences after that, I also was able to take that chia seed story to a scientist who was studying kinds of water that hydrate more profoundly. And his name is Dr. Gerald Pollack. He's a biological scientist at the University of Washington. And I was like, hey, would you just stick this chia seed, you know, under your microscope? Take a look and tell me if I'm crazy, or is this really a specialized kind of water that hydrates more profoundly? So we got to actually determine through a science lab that there are foods that are more profoundly hydrating than liquid. Now, that is a huge new message.
Mm-hmm. Right, because we've always traditionally thought about water as either solid, liquid, or gas. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Pollack figured out this, what he called fourth phase of water, and it's this gel-like water, and turns out it's very hydrating, and it's the water that's really found in nature, like in the plants, and just like with these chia seeds, and when we consume that fourth phase of water, structured water, it's more hydrating for us. So that was the beginning.
Yes.
And that led you to the book. Eventually, you got to the book, right?
I really wanted to get this. I wanted to turn the science into recipes, basically, Dr. Ben. This is what I was dreaming of. Like, how I always had my mother in mind. How can I take this anthropology research and the science that's breaking through now that there are different phases of water, and the different phases of water do different kinds of biologically active work. So different kinds of water do different kinds of work in our body. And we're missing the very water that runs our systems optimally. Mm-hmm. So tap water and bottled water have lost this concentrated form, or it's the thing that makes it concentrated is it has an electrical charge. And tap and bottled water have lost that electrical charge. They're no longer spinning or in motion or not like natural water. And that's something we're going to have to face as a culture, that we've made our water impotent, basically. It's not able to do what we need it to do. And here we are guzzling all of this tap and bottled water, and yet it isn't hydrating us, and it isn't doing the work in our body that supersedes the chronic conditions that people find themselves in.
Yeah. Yeah, we've taken the power and the energy out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And your book explains that so well. I love your book, and, of course, the recipes that are in it. You make it simple and easy. And one thing, I think I've seen it on the website, which we need to mention, hydrationfoundation.org is the website. But I've seen there where you talk about how one glass of water plus eating one apple at the same time is more hydrating than drinking two glasses of water. And
so it's amazing. It's amazing that food, if we understand the value of fresh, beautiful food and what it can do for us in our system, it's not all the guzzling. It's actually an apple, for example, carries the electrical charge still because it's been exposed to beautiful sunlight. The trees have pulled up minerals from the ground and charge the water in the apple. So any strategy where you're putting food with your liquids is going to up-level your hydration.
Right. Well, I've taken that rule of thumb, I think we talked about on the last show. You know, I'll occasionally go get a pizza. It'll be a cauliflower crust, you know, healthier version. And I'm not going to do it all the time because that's still a processed pizza crust and processed food in general. But pizza's dehydrating. And the standard American food and standard American diet, for sure, is very dehydrating. So whenever I eat that cauliflower crust pizza, I always try to eat an apple with it or a cucumber or a carrot or something, you know, a fresh that has the hydration with it, to just try to balance that a little bit. And so
that's so smart, that compensation, you know, just being aware that if I'm going to do something dehydrating, I need to compensate for it somehow.
Right,
that's
exactly.
So
and that's what's beautiful about the book and the summit, too, is just the education piece of it. If people just knew and if their minds were renewed with this truth and with this knowledge, then they could make simple steps like that. Otherwise, they're just going to continue down the same dehydrating path because it's not just our dehydrating standard American diet. It's our dehydrating lifestyle, sitting in a chair all day, not moving, which we'll talk about how movement impacts hydration too. But the indoor environment and not getting sunlight and not just everything with stress. Stress dehydrates us. So we're living this dehydrating life and we're not compensating because we just don't know. And we think drinking 8 glasses is the way to go. And I think we described it last time, and we'll bring in the agricultural component in a minute. But when rainfall hits a field out here that is not a no-till field, just a regular dirt field, and the water runoff is tremendous, as opposed to on a no-till where it soaks it in like a sponge. And same in your gut. You just guzzle those 8 glasses of water, and you don't have the hydrating food with it. It just kind of runs off, and it doesn't absorb as well, right?
Yes, it's what's true in other places in the biological system is it's a picture for us to help us think about ourselves and our world. It's all the same types of systems,
right.
And all of those systems are run on water, that run on hydration.
Yeah.
So it's really impactful to recognize that you yourself are a body of water. You are a flow system. And incoming and outgoing is, you know, how we both be alive and vital, and also how we flush out and detox the assaults that we are getting from every possible corner now with chemical contamination,
right,
and stress contamination and EMF contamination. It's hydration is more important now than ever was before.
Right. Yeah, it's that water that really buffers and gives us that resiliency and ability to take a hit and keep on going. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think with water making up the inside of our cells, water making up the outside environment of our cells, what our cells are bathed in, I mean, we're just all water. I mean, we hear all the time the terms like 70% of us is water, but really by molecules, I think it's more like 99% of the molecules are water. So when we're so much a water being, you would think we would know more and teach more, and for sure doctors should know more. So speak to how you're trying to bring some of this to the forefront, both to doctors and through doctors, some of these more natural healers, through this Hydration Summit, through your website, through the doctor's prescription on your website, which I recommend when people go to hydrationfoundation.org, click on at the top, doctor's prescription to hydrate now, and they'll take you to a little short course that'll educate you. But talk about the website, talk about what you're doing to educate, and of course the summit that's coming up.
Oh, I'm so pleased and excited because from, you know, my experience with my mom, I went and founded the Hydration Foundation. I was like, okay, now that I've got this package of solution to help people get food and recognize they need to compensate, and because the solution that's available to most people is just guzzle more water, and if you're in a difficult environment you guzzle even more water, and I wanted to help people out of that problem and just realize, you know, adding the salads, adding by the way, leafy greens are 98% water, and it's beautiful water. It's so apples, watermelon, of course, but bringing people into this world where they are eating high water volume foods, mm-hmm. high gel content foods, led me to realize that we could actually line up doctors who were in the know to help get this message to other doctors. And I started interviewing doctors I knew who were practicing great hydration strategies, and they were using it in their protocols. So these interviews led to basically putting all the interviews together and launching a very vital event, an educational event, but a fun event, and we're going to do that on February 15th. We open up a summit, and, you know, most summits, Dr. Ben, they are, you know, 5 days of vast information kind of thrown at you, and we thought, well, our job is really to educate, and so we opened it up to a month-long summit that's planted at 5 consecutive weekends from February 15th through March 15th. That really gives people time to hear all of these doctors, each one giving their own version of hydrating tips, so that what we want to do is create a whole menu for people to be picking from as they go through their day to hydrate themselves. So we have Dr. Joe Mercola on there, for example, talking about how important exposure to sunlight is, because that adds electrical charge to the water already inside your body. And people are surprised to find out sunlight is an important part of hydrating. And then we have Dr. Stephen Sinatra talking about how important ingesting fats are, because fats are part of the cell membrane, and they are the opening and closing lock for letting hydration in and out of the cell. So proper fats. And then movement. We have a number of fabulous practitioners in the movement industry, movement therapies, who show that if you use your body to move, very small gestures even, or getting massages, all allow that water to be flushed through your system, moved through your system, distributed to your muscles and tissues. And so there's so many surprises on this summit about weight. There's way more ways to hydrate that are gentle for the elderly, important for kids right before school, after school sports, how to hydrate well instead of just guzzling all the water the coach gives you, to, you know, add a little rock salt or sea salt to your kid's water bottle. It makes a huge difference.
Right.
Huge. So concussion protection, mental health issues. We just lined up amazing people, and we love sharing this. And to do that, we actually created a coaching session. Then each night of the summit, I will go online live and, you know, kind of review the important facts of the day we've learned from our interviews, our fabulous experts, and then collect people's aha moments and their success stories and the questions they might be having, so we can really do this together and educate. So profound. So we're very, very honored and excited. It's been almost 18 months putting this together. These are key voices, and we think we're doing it as a chorus of voices. We're going to have impact far more than just, you know, me crying out in the wilderness.
Right. Well, I want to congratulate you. I mean, it's like a who's who of the guys I've looked up to and gals, and that have taught me so much. You mentioned Dr. Mercola and Dr. Zach Bush, I believe, is on there. Dr. Tom Cowan, Sayer G, who's not a doctor, but he's an amazing health researcher. Health nut, I call him. And then some of the podcasters that are so big, like Dave Asprey and Ben Greenfield. I mean, it really is, for those who are kind of into natural health and healing, it really is a who's who lineup. And I'm excited to listen to some of these other folks that I'm not as familiar with, because I'm sure they're going to bring some awesome information too. So great job on getting this lineup together, because it's just really
spectacular. Well, Dr. Ben, one of my favorite interviews was with you. I just loved that you brought your 4 pillars of health, and you placed hydration in each of those 4 quadrants as, you know, so key. And the simple solution to move us out of these chronic conditions. You know, if you think about, it's so simple. If you think about a plant, a house plant that you didn't get to water, and you see how quickly they shrivel, that's a picture of what's going on inside of us.
Right.
So it helps people visualize right away, oh, yeah, I get what hydration does. I see it or in the world around me, but I forget for myself to take care of that.
Yep. Well, I remember reading a book early on when I first got into integrative functional type medicine 8 years ago, The Body's Many Cries for Water, and how so many times the symptoms that people go to the doctor for, whether it be a headache or fatigue or dizziness or high blood pressure, you name it, so often it can simply be one of the body's cries for water. The body's just dehydrated.
And now more than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, cars, planes, we are really environments every day that are taking a percentage at all over the place, whether it's the food we eat or the medications we take, which are very dehydrating. And you should come in, you know, your doctor should advise you to be taking more hydration in. Each one of these places in our new lives are deeply dehydrating, and yet we cannot just guzzle more and more water. That is not the solution.
Right.
So to find out that it's a healthy diet and our plants can help us so profoundly, that's such good news. It's like, wow, it's a double bonus.
Yeah.
And water also is a huge buffer for stress chemicals. So hydration and mental cognitive function and peace really go together.
Right. Yeah, they're all intertwined. It's pretty amazing. And we're up against a break here in a sec, but I know part of the mission and goal of the summit, beyond educating people about hydration, bringing all these great minds together, picking everybody's brain on this, but it's the agricultural component and how you're going to support some movements in the natural regenerative agriculture world. And so when we come back from the break, I want you to speak to that a little bit, the Farmer's Footprint, I believe, and Zach Bush, his big push to get regenerative agriculture to the mainstream. And then we've got our very own Chad Wall as our second guest. I didn't introduce yet, but when we get back from the break, I will. Chad is the head of his company's called Natural Ecosystem Restoration. People, plants, and planet, and they're all interconnected. People think about the cotton farmers out here just being cotton farmers, but no, that impacts every single one of us, and all the farmers impact us, obviously the ones that grow our food, but even the ones who aren't growing food, but just the way the soil is managed impacts our environment, impacts the hydration status of us. So we're going to bring all that in when we come back from the break. So y'all stick with us. Chad Wall will be coming in and joining us. Gina Bria will still be with us. And Gina Bria, again, her website, hydrationfoundation.org. I encourage everybody to go there and check out. There's so much education, and it's a very well laid out website, easy to navigate. But click on that first bar that you'll see about learning how to become hydrated and register for the summit. Again, it's over 5 weekends in February, and Gina will be doing some health coaching with the whole goal of just educating you. So, Gina, thank you. Stick with us. And every listeners, y'all stick with us, too. We'll be right back.
And welcome back in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for past archived programs. You can certainly do that. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the show. Special guests as well. Let's get right back into it, Dr. Edwards. Good to see you back.
Thank you, Wade. We're excited to have Gina Bria with us today from the hydrationfoundation.org. Also, her book, Quench, I highly recommend. And really encourage everybody to register for the Hydration Summit that's coming up here in February. And also, we're going to bring in Chad Wall. Chad is a friend of mine. He's a husband to one of my PAs, Jolena. But more importantly, Chad is on this discovery/education/revelation. I'll let Chad describe it more, but Chad's putting a lot of these pieces together, like I'm doing in the medical realm for humans, it appears Chad's doing in the agricultural realm for plant and animals. And it's so cool because, as we've said earlier in the show, we're just so all interconnected. And what happens in one person's world affects other people, obviously, but not just people, our animals, the plants, everything. And from the standpoint of our food and eating hydrating foods and nourishing foods, we need farmers growing the highest quality, cleanest food that we can, but that all starts with the soil. So Chad's just taking a deep dive into what does it mean to get your soil healthy. But before we bring Chad on, Gina, I do want to ask you to talk a little bit about, because I know on the summit, I believe there's a speaker that who will be talking about hydration and soils and regenerative agriculture. And then I know Zach Bush and the Farmer's Footprint is somehow involved. But talk a little bit about the agricultural piece of this summit.
Well, it's pretty straightforward because if fresh fruits and vegetables, and especially vegetables, are so more hydrating than the tap and bottled water we're drinking, and that's what we're advocating, then that makes farming hydration business. That's new, too. So the foods that we grow and the soils that they're grown in are all in need of better hydration, just as we are. And, in fact, the soils, we think, are what are one of the major points of powerful impact, because if we can get those soils rehydrated, and we can get those soil microbes rehydrated, if we get the best kind of water to them, right through the irrigation systems that people already have in place, it's a very straightforward solution to eating good hydration, also regenerating our soils, allowing water to actually be absorbed by the earth in the same way that it's absorbed by our bodies. And when we saw that connection, especially through our interview with Dr. Zach Bush, who opens our summit, we said, well, why don't we help farmers? Why don't we create, as a nonprofit, a pass-through system so that people can give to us and we can give hydrating equipment directly to farmers who are interested in regenerating their soils? And the value for the farmer is, wow, it brings down their water costs immediately. So in the same way that you don't need to guzzle water as a human if you're eating beautiful, concentrated water from foods, water that has an electrical charge, that has life back in it, that same thing happens with soils. You bring down the water use and bring up the impact of hydration right there in the soil. And, of course, this gel form of water stays in the soil so much longer. And we thought, look, if we connect with and partner with people like Dr. Zach Bush and Chad Wall, and we get this flow-through system where we were able to let the public learn about hydration and also have a place to give to farmers so they can hydrate their soils and their plants and their animals. Wow, we've created a sequence now that can have real influence in the world and can bring hydration back up for everybody. So it's sort of the utmost impactful thing we thought we could do to try to, as the Hydration Foundation. And the summit itself, we made, it's all free, all online, available to anybody. And we can help spread this powerful impact of both getting yourself hydrated and then helping our planet get rehydrated, our Mother Earth. Right. We think it's a pretty powerful combination of bringing the public to have power right on our agriculture where we so need it.
Right. Well, Chad, I hope you're still with us. Welcome.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Chad.
Thank you.
Hi, Gina.
It's good to hear your voice this morning.
Right. And, yeah. Chad, I was going to let you just explain kind of how you're interrelated and partnered, because you seem to be consulting and partnering with a few different organizations around the country, all with this common goal of let's heal our soils. So tell the listeners a little bit about your background, maybe briefly, and then how you're connected with Gina and the Hydration Summit and the Hydration Foundation.
Sure. So essentially what I'm doing now with the company that I founded called Natural Ecosystem Restoration is I am what we would call in the industry a regenerative agriculture consultant, which is relatively new terminology. In the last few years, it's becoming more mainstream, and obviously if you just consider what the words themselves mean, we're focused on a regenerative approach, meaning, you know, very much like what you are doing in healthcare, as you stated. We're interested in doing things and practices in agriculture that are actually regenerating the ecosystem rather than continuing to degenerate the system. And so, you know, most people in agriculture are of the belief that the system is declining, and it's only, you know, it's only a matter of time until it loses more productivity if we don't figure out a way to reverse that. And so that's where my journey began very near 20 years ago now, that I was farming in Yoakum County and, you know, had fairly recently come back from an advanced degree in agriculture and very ambitious about, you know, how do we sustain things or how do we make it better? And then that kind of turned into this whole sustainable movement of how do we sustain. But when the system is declining, you know, sustaining is not really a very good idea. We actually need to be regenerating instead of sustaining something that is declining. But in any event, that's kind of where it began. I was in Yoakum County, pretty dry area, very prone to wind erosion, and we were cotton farmers, and I just wanted to stop the sand from blowing. I just didn't want to have such a struggle with my internal dissonance of praying for a rain because we needed the moisture and then begrudging the rain because we had to go sand fight. And so that led me into no-till and going up north to learn from some guys who had more no-till experience because there wasn't really anybody in our area doing it. And that quickly led to soil health and understanding that, wow, you know, the way I've been approaching this equation is not exactly right. And there's a lot more going on with soil health and soil hydration, which obviously in agriculture in our part of the world, you know, if you ask anybody what their greatest limiting factor is, and it's always water. You know, you can have the, just like in your practice, Dr. Edwards, if you do a whole lot of things right, but your hydration is really, really wrong, or you're lacking hydration, well, then the rest of it doesn't really matter. And so the greatest seed technology, the greatest, you know, management technologies, the greatest fertility programs or plant nutrition programs all fall short if we're short of the hydration aspect. And so obviously, you know, we don't have a rainmaker that can just rain on our spot whenever we want it, because that would be a real mess if every farmer got the rain that he needed when he needed it, or when he wanted it, because I promise there are not two farmers farming side by side who want exactly the same rain at exactly the same time.
Right.
Because, you know, we're either trying to spray or we're trying to cultivate or we're trying to do whatever. And so, obviously, you know, the Lord has a great plan on raining when he does and how he does, and we need to be very, very good at utilizing the resources that we get to the best of our ability. And so as we really dig into soil health, that's where, you know, that's where we really start learning that while getting, you know, getting the moisture that we get is actually ample for most of the crops that we want to grow, but we've got to learn how to hold on to it and how to make it available to the plant. Number one, just like the conversation a little bit earlier, if the water's running off, well, then obviously that's a problem. We've got to do things to prevent the water from running off, and then we've got to do things to build that biological system so that the water that we keep from running off, we actually have access to, or the plants have access to it when they actually need it. And most of that is done through the biological functions in the soil. The fungi and, you know, and all of the other things that are part of that biological ecosystem that are instrumental for the plants not only getting the nutrients that they need, but also getting the moisture that they need when they get it. And so I've really, in the last couple of years, been able to fine-tune my approach, not only on my farm, but on the consulting that I'm doing with other producers and trying to maximize, you know, the things that we can do that have the greatest impact on the system so that we can continue to build resiliency into that system to get us through these excess rainfalls and these shortage of rainfalls, because that's the other thing that I think we find in agriculture is that there's very seldom that an agriculture producer actually gets the amount of rain that he wanted. It's usually either too much in too short a period of time, or it's not enough. It didn't make enough difference. And so obviously we can't change those things except through building resilience into that system to give us a lot more flexibility to, you know, to duck and dive or move and flow or however you want to describe it, of utilizing the resources that we are getting and then maximizing the resources that we're spending money to apply to the system.
Right. And it sounds to me like the key for that whole resiliency and being able to ebb and flow is the health of the soil, and that translates directly to the health of the microbes in the soil, and those microbes need to be hydrated properly. So I know there's lots of pieces of this, but that's kind of the foundational thing. Those microbes have to be there, and they have to be healthy, and they have to be hydrated the right way, and then that soil can turn into that sponge, that chocolate cake type consistency that'll hold that excess water and release it when you need it and prevent the runoff when you get that big dump of water. So it's all about the health of the soil. So I know that takes time, and that's a process, and you know, a producer is going to have a plan in place to still make ends meet. And I know in talking with you privately, there's some maybe rather simple techniques and pretty affordable and may get some return while you're working on the soil with these structured water devices. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. So I think I mentioned on a previous visit maybe that, you know, I had been doing some experimenting myself with water for quite some time, and in fact even started with RO water about 15 years ago because we thought RO water was so important, and there were certainly some merits for it. You know, it's not hydrating and it's not the thing that anything that's living needs, but there were some uses for it with pesticide reduction and things like that, and so that's kind of where I started experimenting and then trying to figure out whole house water filtration for my family when that became very important to us is what led me into the whole exploration of structured water and how that differed from everything else. And so the way that I describe that, and certainly many people who are dealing with structured water that will be involved with the Hydration Foundation understand that moving water or naturally occurring water is what we really need. Every living cellular body actually needs that type of water. And that's why rainwater has the impact that it does compared to irrigation water. And most anybody who's watered anything understands that, you know, even lots of Betty homemakers, you know, like to catch rainwater running off the house or wherever and use that to water their plants because that's better water. That water has a different effect. And so that's one of the things that growing up in agriculture and always being involved with the process, you know, set my mind to thinking and asking the questions of, well, why, you know, why is that water so much different? Why does a little bit of rainwater produce a dramatic result compared to a whole lot of irrigation water? And now, you know, with declining water tables and the quality of water going downhill, you know, a lot of things have contributed to even a greater differentiation between what the rainwater does and what our pumped water does or our irrigation water. And so I started exploring that several years ago, doing my own experimenting and whatnot. And we actually had some great field trials in 2019, which most of your listeners are going to be from the area that understand that, wow, 2000, I've heard farmers that, you know, the one story I heard was about two farmers in line at the grocery store, and one said, wow, that's the worst crop I've had in 38 years or something, and the other gentleman replied, yeah, that's the worst one I've had in 52 years. And so, anyway, obviously 2019 was not conducive for a lot of reasons to making good crops. But what we saw with the things that we were doing with regenerative agriculture, as well as specifically utilizing structured water, we were able to produce better results on one farm in particular, better results than that farm had ever seen with 30% less applied water via soil probes that were actually measuring the water that was applied compared to previous years. And so I think that's, you know, that's the story that needs to be told, is that if we can make that water that we're pumping function more like rainwater, number one, that's much more hydrating. The plants can utilize it. And the microbes, I think, are really being invigorated by that. And so that makes our nutrient cycling much more efficient. That makes those nutrients available to the plants. So not only do we get a yield response from that, we also get a, you know, on this farm, and I don't think this is unusual, I've heard reports as much as 50%. What we validated was 30% less water applied. So if we can reduce, you know, that water consumption by 30%, reduce our pumping cost or energy requirements by 30%, that translates to a completely different scenario really quickly. Well, you know, if we didn't do anything else, but if we get a yield response at the same time, well then, you know, holy moly, this is the kind of information that everybody needs, from a water conservation to a, you know, to a farm level conservation to a, you know, a regenerative approach to agriculture. And so the remarkable part of that was that, you know, people had been toying with those ideas and different ways to do it for a long time, and hadn't seen the dramatic results that we saw by the way that we did it. And the cost effectiveness of how we did it was pretty amazing also. I mean, that 30% reduction was at about a $12 an acre cost for the equipment. You know, so you know, I don't want to say that it's a no-brainer, but it's real close. If anything's a no-brainer, it's real close from a standpoint of just look at what the benefits are and look at what the cost is. And I don't know that you can get a greater return on investment in agriculture,
right?
Particularly with a regenerative practice rather than a, you know, a shot in the arm Band-Aid that has a simple, quick response, but is not part of the whole regenerative system.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see stacking year after year after year what those numbers would do if they just compound in a positive way, as this more nourishing and structured water hydrates those microbes and just overall health of the soil improves, and you start to regenerate.
Right.
So that's a pretty awesome thing. We're definitely going to have you back to talk more in depth about this, and I know there's more things besides just the structuring of the water, but natural ecosystem restoration, that's the name of your company, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and okay. Also on the Hydration Foundation website, I know hydrationfoundation.org, you can search on there, hydration for agriculture, soil regeneration, and carbon sequestration. So there's some good education there on agriculture on Gina Bria's website. I know Chad also works with Advancing Eco-Agriculture, and you can look them up on the web or YouTube, and there's a recent webinar on YouTube that really dives deeper into some of these regenerative practices. And we always want to encourage farmers to educate themselves and then to step out and start doing some of these things. I heard on one of those podcasts somewhere, Chad, something like, I'll get the number wrong, but we only have so many harvests left, basically, because the topsoil is degraded and the yields are just diminishing. And I don't know what crop they were talking about or if it was just in general on the earth. We only have like 60 or something, some set number that they were predicting harvests left because of the way we've degraded the soil.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's primarily the, you know, the microbial decline. You know, and who knows how many species have been lost. And I'm certainly not a doomsdayer. You know, I like to focus on, well, okay, we understand that. Now, what can we do about it? What can we do to change the direction that we're headed? Because, you know, a lot of our message is just bringing hope that, you know, that there is hope in something that can reverse the trend and actually, you know, not only bring profitability back to some operations, but bring some hope in that the future of what we're doing in the next generation or the generation after that will we'll have the opportunity to continue to do the things that we love, because we're doing things that are changing that trend. And that's what really we focus on is, you know, it's doing more of the things that contribute to the microbial life flourishing and doing less of the things that are detrimental to it. It's not a, you know, just stop and about face and go the other direction. It's, you know, how do we start implementing things that are building the right things and, you know, and trying to avoid more of the things that we know are causing the problem.
Right, exactly. And it translates straight over to our body and our health. And that's what I encourage people all the time is you don't have to do make a crazy huge leap into the deep end of the swimming pool on the first day of class with no floaties on.
Right.
But you can crowd out the bad stuff, start putting in the good stuff, and you'll crowd out the bad stuff over time. And as you get more and more educated and more supported, it's easier and easier to do. And pretty soon you're not a standard American anymore. And that message of hope is a huge one, especially from health and ag both, because it really can be a doom and gloom and all negative all the time, especially if you just listen to regular old news stations. But there's a huge amount of hope, and that's the beauty of this. Kind of reminds me how the ashes rises at Phoenix or whatever that old that thing is. There's so much goodness that will come, and I think, personally speaking, when we can align our thoughts and our ways back up with God's original intent. You know, how did God intend for this world to function? How did he intend for the ecosystem to function, for humans to interact, for us to rule and steward and manage the earth and our bodies and, I mean, all of it, our community. So it's really cool to have folks that are seeking that out and lining things back up. And then they're so willing to freely give and educate and help others. And so that's the point of this show, and I know that's the point of the HydrationFoundation.org and, of course, the summit, all the work, Gina, that you're doing. So I thank you both. I think y'all are making huge impacts locally, nationwide, worldwide. The ripple effect's going to be tremendous. So thank you both for doing what you're doing, and we'd love to have both of you back. Gina, any final parting comments?
Yeah, I do. Chad is my hero. I believe the farmers are our stewards, and this strategy allows farmers to regenerate their own land. And the summit allows people public access to support farmers to do this work and become educated about their own hydration at the same time. So we are asking you to come, and it's free, it's online, and not only come and be a participant in this, but to spread it. You know, take it to your schools, your hospitals, share our link, let people know. We've got this major initiative to recover our land through hydration, recover our bodies through hydration. How fortunate we are. And thank you, Dr. Ben, for helping us, and Chad. Woo, let's go do it. 2020, let's just go do it.
Amen.
We'll walk over all those other decontaminators and just go do it ourselves.
Right. That's exciting.
Right.
And for each other. Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Gina. Again, everyone, that's Gina Bria. HydrationFoundation.org is a website. Quench is her book. And then the Hydration Summit that's coming out soon. And you can find the link to that on the HydrationFoundation.org. And then, Chad, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
My website is not real functional right now, so actually an email at chad.coveredw@gmail.com is a good way to reach out to me. And one other thing I want to say about the work that Gina is doing there with the Hydration Foundation is they are, in conjunction with the summit, there's actually a way for the public to get involved with this regenerative ag movement via donations through the summit that are going to be distributed through Pharmacy Movement, which is pharmacymovement.org, which is an initiative there with the Hydration Foundation to actually allow agricultural producers to sign up for the opportunity to be given donated restructuring equipment to put into their irrigation systems so that they can actually start receiving the benefits of that. And so that's how we're actually working. The Hydration Foundation is working to tie in the you know, the people who don't really know how to get involved with regenerative agriculture, but want to do so, can actually do that through this other initiative called Pharmacy Movement, so that farmers can actually have that equipment donated to them so that they can put it into practice on their own farms.
Well, that's exciting, super exciting. And could you say your email one more time, chad.coverw?
Yes, at gmail.com.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, this is Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. You can find this recorded episode on our website, veritasmedical.com, under resources and under radio show. We'll have it up there soon, so y'all share that link with all your friends and put it on your social media so people can get to that hydration foundation and get more educated, get hydrated, and be the cure for your own body and for the world. So thank y'all again, Gina and Chad, for being with us. And listeners, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
So thank you, Ben. Thank you, Dr. Ben. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.